G'day, this is Nurky with the Conspiracy Hour at nettalkradio.co.uk, also simultaneously podcasted at abovetopsecret.com. This is the Conspiracy Hour for the 8th of April 2006 at nettalkradio.co.uk, 8 to 9pm Saturdays GMT. And I am your host, Nurky, the token crazy Australian, coming to you not so live from the anus of the world, Melbourne, Australia. For the first time listener of the show, welcome. If you like conspiracy theories and like crazy things, and you're worried about what's happening in the world today, well, this is the show for you. And for those of you who are listening for the second or subsequent times after that, I'd like to thank you for coming back and for supporting the show. For more information on previous episodes of this show, go to my blog at blog.myspace.com/Nurky, and my nickname Nurky is pronounced N-R-K-Y. And before you ask, yes, it is an abbreviation of the word anarchy. I had to personalize it though and make it my own personal anarchy and change the CH to a K and got rid of all the vowels. Now, last week in the show, because of the week previously I was sick, I did a lot for the totalitarian tiptoe segment of the show, which is where I like to talk about the encroachment on civil liberties and rights and freedoms of the people of the world by the few that want to control it, also known as the Illuminati, using a problem-reaction-solution formula to gain more easily acceptable methods of control over the population of the world. And last week, most of the episode was taken up by the segment of the show called The Totalitarian Tiptoe, and this week I'm going to try and not take up so much of its time with The Totalitarian Tiptoe, and also include a fair amount of the AboveTopSecret.com podcasts, which is what I usually do every week, because I originally started podcasting at AboveTopSecret.com, and then Ross Hemsworth gave me my show here, The Conspiracy Hour, at nettalkradio.co.uk, for a little over a month now. So I'm also playing a bit of podcast from AboveTopSecret.com, just to pay them some respect and to thank them for letting me get into the radio and internet talk industry, if you can call it an industry, and just to let you guys know about AboveTopSecret.com's pod space, and hopefully some of you will go to AboveTopSecret.com after having listened to this show at the nettalkradio.co.uk. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and my brain isn't working too well, so my memory isn't exactly functional. So grab your beer, your popcorn, or chips, and your tinfoil hat, like I have, and get ready for the Conspiracy Hour with Nurky.
The world is in the grip of a psychotic mass murderer. He is responsible for the deaths of untold millions of men, women, and children. His power is exercised through a network of secret societies, and it reaches into the very highest levels of governments all over the world. Examine the evidence. Draw your own conclusions. Peer into darkness with Derek Gilbert and Sharon Gilbert on PID Radio. www.pidradio.com.
Because people have got to know whether or not their presidents are crooks.
Good question. I appreciate you asking that question.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
That Iraq no longer had weapons of mass destruction to pose a threat to the United States of America.
From my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
The top portion of the building has collapsed down to the streets below.
The events of our times are indeed confusing and often shrouded in the mystery of deception. Over the past 3 years, AboveTopSecret.com has grown to be the Internet's most popular and reliable source of answers on conspiracy theories, political scandals, secret government projects, and other alternative topics. With over 43,000 members and more than 1.6 million posts, those answers are just a click away. And now a new addition to the many features of our community, member podcasts. These are so easy to create, even George Bush can do it. And that's without the help of Dick Cheney. Any member can simply upload an MP3 file and have it immediately appear in our feed. A quick look at the feed finds members like Agent Smith and his rather interesting introduction.
Anyway, I'll start telling you a few things about myself. We'll start with my bad points. I'm pretty arrogant. Most of you have probably noticed this. I can get quite excitable, and I believe most of that probably stems from the fact that I tend to drink too much.
And there's Magic with his theories on information warfare.
information warfare uses information as a weapon of war. A modern derivative of classic psychological warfare, it has evolved into a distinct discipline which focuses on the flow of information, communication, and the systems used to facilitate them.
And also the interview with someone who claims he can call UFOs at will.
What does that mean? I said, no, I didn't say that, man. I said that UFOs were going to start appearing, and at one point in this thing, a spaceship is going to descend up over Las Vegas for everybody to see, you know, I mean.
And certainly not to be missed, one member has actually taught his PlayStation 2 to talk.
I am saying that there is a conspiracy to divide your thoughts into at least two groups which are polarized against each other.
The motto of AboveTopSecret.com is Deny Ignorance, and it signifies our aspiration to embrace all topics in the spirit of collaborative discussion and learning. To find our podcast, just search Above Top Secret on iTunes or visit podcast.abovetopsecret.com.
Problem. A small global elite wish to control the world. Reaction. Horror. Outrage. Disgust and anger. Solution. You get informed. You get ready for the totalitarian tiptoe with Merky.
G'day, you're listening to The Conspiracy Hour at nettalkradio.co.uk, also simultaneously podcasted at abovetopsecret.com. I'm your host, Nurky, the token crazy Australian, and this is the segment of the show I like to call the Totalitarian Tiptoe, which is where I show you how the world is being controlled by a few small people that want to dominate over the human race and want to put us into a subservient slave population controlled by microchips, policed by a world army, oppressed by a world bank, and world economy, and world currency, and ruled over by a world government. Each week I try to show articles that relate to small stepping stones in the bringing about of a global fascist dictatorship. For more information on the totalitarian tiptoe, as the concept evolved, go to davidicke.com and prisonplanet.com, and you can listen to Alex Jones and David Icke's stuff on the totalitarian tiptoe, because they are more educated than myself on the subject and more easily able to vocalize what is happening in the world than I am. Now, the first article that I've found for the Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show for April the 8th, 2006, comes courtesy of a World Socialist website, wsws.org, and is titled New Phone Tapping Powers in Australia. I chose this one for the opening article for Totalitarian Tiptoe, because I'm an Australian, and I oppose phone tapping and the Australian government, so this is perfect for me to talk about for a sec. But on a side note, before I go into this article, because it comes from a socialist website, you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to be very pessimistic when it comes to the Australian government, and it's not going to be objective, it's going to be very subjective, and going to have a lot of negative opinions about the intentions of the Australian government, no matter what the actual intentions may be. The opening paragraphs of the article from 5th of April 2006 by Mike Head state that a further wave of police state laws is currently being pushed through the Australian Parliament without the Howard government even claiming any new terrorist threat. On a side note, normally in Australia, before we actually bring in some new laws, there's usually a precursive event that will encourage the government to start lobbying the people to allow us to vote for them and bring in a specific new law. Well, it would seem to be that they're bringing in the laws without precursive events. What's going on here? Let's keep reading the article. The measures, six bills so far, are in addition to the detention without trial, sedition, and advocating terrorism legislation passed by the federal and state parliaments just before Christmas of 2005. Virtually no media coverage has been given to the latest laws. even though they will authorize the government and its security agencies for the first time to intercept the telephone and email communications of completely innocent people. They will also extend the ACO secret detention and interrogation powers for a decade, effectively making them permanent. ACO in Australia is the Australian version of the CIA, maybe not so clandestine as the CIA, more like the FBI. On second thought, probably more like the CIA than the FBI. And ACO stands for Australian Security and Intelligence Organisation. In this article, apparently the Telecommunications Interception Amendment of 2006 Act went through Parliament and allows the Federal Police and ACO to covertly monitor or read anyone's phone calls, emails, SMSs, and other, quote, stored communications. And also extends to so-called B parties, innocent parties who have, even if unwittingly, communicated with someone suspected of a crime of being a threat to, quote, national security. This isn't that much different from what's been happening with the Patriot Act in America. And this relates to the fascism and police state that the Illuminati want to bring about in every nation in the world, which will then merge and become part of a global fascist dictatorship. Because Australia is part of the British Commonwealth, we have to see the repercussions of everything that happens in another British Commonwealth state. For example, the current police state of Britain. And if anyone thinks that Britain isn't a police state, well, open your eyes. Because Big Brother is certainly watching you. Are you watching him? Now, the next article for this week's section of the Conspiracy Hour, in the totalitarian tiptoe segment of the show, is titled Digital Angel Completes Microchip Tower, and comes courtesy of davidicke.com, with the date April 7th, 2006. The opening paragraphs state that Digital Angel Corporation, an advanced technology company in the field of rapid and accurate identification, location, tracking, and condition monitoring of high-value assets, announced that its 16-foot by 16-foot RFID radio frequency identification antenna, designed to electronically track the salmon population in the Columbia River in Oregon, will be installed today near the Bonneville Lock and Dam. The antenna, thought to be the world's largest RFID tower, was developed by Digital Angel in conjunction with the Bonneville Power Administration. Apparently, this project will be used to track the movement habits of salmon in that local river. I think that the reason David Icke may have put this article up on his website would be to show that RFID tagging of animals is becoming more prevalent, even for animals in the wild, but we've known about this since the late 80s anyway. So I beg to ask the question, how is this anything new? Well, a bit of backstory on the RFID tagging situation in the world. There is an item called the VeriChip, which is currently being sold for medical database identification purposes, and could also be used for security and for customer personnel records, for, say, hotels, nightclubs, bars, etc. Currently, its most popular use is in It is currently being used to identify pets and animals in the wild which are of endangered or nearly extinct species. If an animal is lost, then the RSPCA in Australia or the park rangers in America can just run a very cheap scanner, known as a Proxmarkey device, over the top of the animal and check its barcode, or its code signal, which is sent back to the Proxmarkey device by the microchip, and it will be able to get all the information possible on that animal. The same can be used for medical purposes. When someone is in an accident and they don't have their wallet and they aren't easily identified by their face and they're unconscious, the first people on the scene will just need to scan them with a Proxmarkey device, and the very chip will tell them exactly who the person is, and their medical history will be easily accessible by the people with the very chip Proximarchy device. Now, unfortunately, the next step to this is that they can use remote, non-invasive and non-contact procedure scanning devices in places such as airports, hotels, etc., to alert the authorities or even just to alert the corporations for sales purposes and advertising of the location of anyone with the VeriChip that is within range of a scanner. Now, David Icke and some other people may proclaim that these VeriChips might have a next evolution step that they can be used with neural implantation technology to wirelessly control the human species. And I'm not exactly going to disagree with that, but it is very unlikely that it will happen any time in the near future. However, I would not be surprised if it happened within the next 20 years. Now, RFID tagging is an invasion of privacy if somebody is able to get it and gain access to information that they don't need. For example, if I go to a hotel and I have a medical history of having a bad back, the hotel might charge me extra for them needing to find a bed which is orthopedic according to my medical needs. Now, some might think that this is a good idea. Well, I would beg to ask the question, why can't I just choose to have a normal bed without having the insurance companies tell the hotels that they need to provide me with an orthopedic bed? It's none of their damn business about my bad back. And every time that I go to that hotel, I might want to pay in cash to stay anonymous, even though I'll probably need an identification card to gain access to it. But if somebody else is declaring the room, I will still be scanned by the people there with the metal detection-like systems as soon as I walk through the door. Now, I don't want the police and the Nazi state knowing exactly where I am at every point in time. I want to be able to disappear at will. I want to be able to engage in my, I was about to say God-given right, in my natural birth-given right to engage in free, libertal, I can't think of the word to go with liberty, to engage in free expression of idea in a public forum. If I go to a hotel and then want to go to a protest down the road, I don't want the police arresting me because I've gone to the hotel and I've been tagged as a political dissident, so they know to come in and arrest me just for my intentions of going to a political rally. But either way, the VeriChip is bad, and we shouldn't use them, especially to implant our kids so that we can quite easily find them if they get lost. Just give them a mobile phone. But unfortunately, the mobile phones are trackable and hackable, which brings me to the next thing about the RFID tag VeriChip. It is hackable. Somebody can clone the VeriChip using a Proximarchy device and gain access to all your secure locations that you have secured using the VeriChip system. Not only that, but people have programmed viruses very geniusly that can hop from one RFID tag to a scanner, and then from that scanner to all the other RFID tags that it reads. Therefore, they can do what System of the Down likes to sing about and fuck with the system. The hackers are doing a great job in screwing with the RFID tag implementations in America and the rest of the Western world, so I applaud them for that. But now time for the next article. This next article comes courtesy of news.independent.co.uk and is titled Campaigner Faces Jail for Anti-War Tea Party Outside Parliament, and is by Nigel Morris on 7th of April 2006. The opening paragraphs stating that a peace activist who organised an anti-war tea party that took place opposite the House of Commons faces prison. This is a British article, mind you. Mark Barrett, a tour guide, was convicted under recent legislation banning demonstrations near Parliament and was fined £500, including costs. He's one of a group of activists who meet every week to drink tea and eat cake on Parliament Square to protest at an attack on freedom of expression, unquote. After being found guilty of unlawful protest by Bow Street magistrates, Mr. Barrett insisted he would not pay the fine. Well, neither would I. So much for freedom of expression and the freedom to gather in a public place. You can tell Britain's becoming a police state when people who gather to have cake and tea are arrested. Political dissidents aren't liked in a police state fascist government. What's next? House raids on socialists and communists and anybody who doesn't agree with the British Commonwealth and the way that it runs its states and the nations under its rule? Where have I seen this before? Oh, that's right, in George Orwell's 1984. Police state. Don't forget, Big Brother is always watching you, so if you want to engage in political dissidence, make sure that you do it in a very public place so that everybody else can see and have something to complain about when you get arrested. Otherwise, if you do it in a private place, nobody will see and nobody will care. The funny thing was, I was scanning through this article, and the article says that Mr. Barrett, 36, was arrested in August under Section 132 of, quote, the Serious Organized Crime and Police Act, which requires protesters to obtain police permission before demonstrating within a kilometre of Parliament. Serious Organized Crime. The only serious organized crime happening near Parliament is what happens inside Parliament. The passing of laws which stops people from protesting in the street should be considered heinous and illegal, and anyone who doesn't oppose it should be kicked out of the country for being a fascist. Now, the next article for the Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show, The Conspiracy Hour, for April the 8th, 2006. At nettalkradio.co.uk and podcasted at abovetopsecret.com comes courtesy of chron.com, chron.com, and is titled Gonzalez Says Calls in US Could Be Tapped Without Warrant. And the opening paragraphs state that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez on Thursday left open the possibility that President Bush could order warrantless wiretaps on telephone calls occurring solely within the US. Is he not already doing that in the first place? Why the hell would Alberto Gonzalez tell us this when we already know that George Bush and his regime is wiretapping people illegally in the first place? Oh, well, who knows? Maybe it's part of the Illuminati agenda to make the Bush regime look bad so that they can impose a more friendly to the Illuminati dictatorship in his place. I wouldn't exactly put it past them to put in Mrs. Clinton as an opposition on the Democrat ticket to George Bush. Well, for those of you who are more politically aware than the rest of the sheep in America, they're both two sides of the same coin, and it wouldn't matter if we had a Clinton, a Bush, a Reagan, a Nixon, or even... Oh my god, no, he's not going to say it. A Lincoln. In Parliament, or in the White House, it's still going to be friendly to the fascist regime that the Illuminati want to bring in. Even the Lincolns were Illuminati. Don't tell anyone. Now going back to this article. In relation to the warrantless wiretaps, such action would dramatically expand the potential reach of the National Security Agency's controversial surveillance program. In response to a question from Rep. Adam Schiff, D. Califf, before the House Judiciary Committee, Gonzalez said that the government would have to determine if a conversation was related to Al-Qaeda and crucial to fighting terrorism before deciding whether to listen in without court supervision. I'm not going to rule it out, Gonzalez said, on the possibility of monitoring purely domestic communications. I'm not going to rule it out, Gonzalez said, on the possibility of monitoring purely domestic communications. How would they know in the first place whether or not a call was related to Al-Qaeda if they weren't already monitoring it in the first place? It's like spending hours in a library to call someone a nerd. You've already kind of gone over the line in wiretapping if you already know that the call's going to be about Al-Qaeda. And I would just like to let you know how they would know that the call would have been about Al-Qaeda. America has this system called Echelon, which is a massive computer network of satellites and supercomputers hidden in NORAD facilities around the globe to spy on digital communications using emails, website forums, general websites, web crawlers, MSN Messenger, ICQ Messenger, every other instant messenger form. And then we have the radio, television, mobile phone calls, landline calls, public phone calls, which you may think are anonymous, but there's always a camera watching them in the first place, and every other form of digital communication that you can think of. Echelon computer system filters out these communications for specific keywords. It has a database of tens of thousands of words which it looks for, which can be prioritized according to the situation of necessity in America at the security levels. For example, if someone were to bomb America and America wanted to find out more information on Al-Qaeda, they would need to simply increase the priority level of anything relating to Al-Qaeda. For example, the words terrorist, bomb, assassin, Al-Qaeda, World Trade Center, hijacking towers, Saudi Arabia, Saddam Hussein, etc., etc. Osama bin Laden, Illuminati, whatever. The Echelon computer system would look for these words and would flag the conversation as needing attention so that a human operative would go and take a look at it and would assess its suitability for being considered a terrorist conversation or even a security risk. And then it would pass through the system and could be sent off to the CIA for them to investigate. Now, the Echelon computer system illegally wiretaps into every single phone conversation that they can get their hands on. Both domestic and international calls in America are being monitored by the Echelon computer system, and I would not put it past them to have already wiretapped into some of the ones in nations in the rest of the world. For example, China, because Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, and some other American corporations working in internet firms have a poor record of censorship and giving information that should be private to the Chinese government to keep in favor with the Chinese government so that they don't get kicked out of China and they don't lose their business. I wouldn't put it past the people that secretly run Echelon to be in favor with the Chinese government and also be working in collaboration with them to scan every single digital communication passing through China as well. And this would not be limited to, but would also be extended beyond, every nation living under the Commonwealth, every Arabic nation, every Asian nation, every African nation, basically every bloody nation in the world which has a telecommunication system. That system is Echelon, so go out and do some Googling for E-C-H-E-L-O-N, Echelon, and find some more information about it. And join other people in the Jam Echelon Day campaign, or in my campaign of Screw Echelon, which makes every day Jam Echelon Day. In your forum posts, in your email headers, or your email signatures, and in your phone conversations, try to put in as many words in the Echelon computer system would be looking for, so that it will have to completely overload, and will eventually be so inefficient that they won't be able to monitor us properly, and may give up on the situation. Now, the next article for the Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show is about bird flu. Yes, the fake bird flu that is being spread throughout the world and the fake fear of it that is being spread by the Illuminati media centres. But this article is a criticism of the media and of bird flu. It comes courtesy of Alex Jones's PrisonPlanet.com and is titled Bird Flu Outbreak Coincided with Drill. And also on a side note, for every article that I refer to in this episode of The Conspiracy Hour, you can find the links at blog.myspace.com/nerky for the blog entry for April the 8th, 2006. The article's opening paragraphs state that Britain's bird flu scare that officials are now warning could spread to other areas of Scotland coincided with an exercise that drilled a response to an avian flu outbreak. The drill included the involvement of Downing Street and the Ministry of Defence. The BBC reports that the exercise was cancelled as soon as the discovery of the H5 virus in the dead swan in Fife was made. Is it just me, or is it a strange coincidence that as soon as there's a media scare in relation to whatever popular fear tactic they're using, there always happens to be some government drill that's happening? Well, Alex Jones noticed this as well, and he made mention of it in his article, with the quote, "Stage-managed manufactured crises are always paralleled by drills of the same nature. This provides culpable deniability if any government agency is caught with their hands in the cookie jar. They can just say it was part of the drill. Exactly like what happened in 9/11 in the World Trade Center and what happened in the London Underground bombing last year. With war games being run at 9/11 for testing the possibility of planes being crashed into the World Trade Center, of all places. And for the London Underground bombing, they were testing... Well, guess what they were testing? They were testing for the factors of how the London Underground could be bombed and how its other complementary public transport networks could be bombed and how they could prevent it. Well, is it just me or is it strange that they were running drills on the same days? No, it's not. Once you look into the Illuminati and how they are using a problem-reaction-solution formula to bring about a world global fascist dictatorship, it's no surprise. They purposefully make smaller nations go into conflict with other nations so that they can bring about a United Nations that will squash national sovereignty. Just like how they had some British soldiers trying to blow up Iraq mosques last year. And they were caught and arrested by the Iraqi police, and they were found to be British soldiers. The Illuminati and the people that work behind the scenes in America and Britain love running these drills at the same time that the media decides to run a scare tactic fear campaign. Now, another article from PrisonPlanet.com in relation to bird flu is titled Bird Flu and Social Darwinism, a quick refresher course, with the opening paragraph stating that Britain again became a victim of bird flu paranoia today after a dead swan in Scotland tested positive for H5N1 strain of bird flu. Since Sky News and BBC are revelling in the seriousness of all this, it's pertinent and timely to recap on the real agenda behind bird flu. Both the British and US governments have created policies of quarantine and internment procedures, which they need to indoctrinate Joe Public into going along with. In the first stage, limited biological panics will be meted upon the public. In Britain through Port and Down, the same people who brought you foot and mouth disease, in order to train them into producing the desired response. Those who are taken to temporary relief centres for their own safety will be treated kindly and released swiftly, putting to shame the outlandish protests of civil liberties advocates and internet conspiracy theorists. This is in preparation for the more grandiose biological releases, those advocated by people like Dr. Eric Planker, that will kill millions through weaponized airborne Ebola or smallpox. People will now have learned that militarized police curfews and internment facilities bring safety, and then will happily spend their time in the camps, working to help recover the massive damage to the economy, safe in the knowledge that they will soon be free to leave. Concentration camps indeed. Righto, now the next article for Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show, The Conspiracy Hour, for April the 8th, 2006, proves my theories on media disinformation projects. It comes courtesy of nytimes.com, the New York Times, and is titled Report False Video Reports Shown as News, and was published by David Barstow for April the 6th, 2006, with the opening paragraphs stating that many television news stations, including some from the nation's largest markets, are continuing to broadcast reports as news without disclosing that the segments were produced by corporations pitching new products, according to a report to be released today by a group that monitors the news media. Television news directors have said that the segments, known as video news releases, are almost never broadcast. But the group assembled television videotape from 69 stations that it said had broadcast fake news segments in the past 10 months. The new report was prepared by the Center for Media and Democracy, which is based in Wisconsin and which describes itself as dedicated to, quote, exposing public relations spin and propaganda. The report said none of the stations had disclosed that the segments were produced by publicists representing companies like GM, Capital One, and Pfizer. Well, is it no surprise that the right-wing media is showing right-wing news propaganda from corporations? No, not really. Do you think the media is there to show the news? Hell no. It's there to show the corporate version of the news. If a corporation wants to bring out a new car which the American people can extend their penis size with, well, of course the news are going to show it because it's good for the economy. If a corporation is on the payroll of the current administration, and so is the news media corporation, Rupert Murdoch News Corp, then of course that media station is going to be favourable of the corporations that are lobbying the current regime, party that's in power, as they like to be called. Here is yet another reason why you should not do anything but take the news reports with a grain of salt. If you wholly believe everything that you hear on the news, you are a sheep and you have no right to own a television or a radio. Now, for another article relating to disinformation and control of politicians and public thought through lobbying and aggressive corporate scandals, here is one about Zion and the ADL. As a side note, first I would like to state that I am not an anti-Semite, nor am I an anti-Jew. I am a humanist, and I oppose the occupation of Palestine by the Zionists. I do not oppose the occupation of Jerusalem and the lands of Israel by ordinary Jewish citizens. I oppose their oppressive control over the Palestinians by the people that are also controlling the poorer Jewish people in Israel. I'm not rebelling against the generic people and the populace of Israel. I have no problem with them. It is their Zionist fascist leaders that control Israel that I am opposing. Now to the article, which comes courtesy of the7thfire.com and is titled Foxman's Famous Flunkies, in relation to the ADL's current director, Abe Foxman. The ADL is the Anti-Defamation League, which is a propaganda wing of Zion, also known as the Leadership of Israel, and is there to make sure that any criticism of Israel and of Zionism as an ideal is seen as anti-Semitism. The ADL is very anti-First Amendment, and they don't like criticism. They claim that you hate Jews, but they never actually use the word Jews. They like to use the word anti-Semitism because they've hijacked the definition of a Semite. A Semite was a person who comes from the Semitic region of the Middle East, which included the southern part of the neighboring, the nations next to Jerusalem, along towards the top of Egypt. It was not every single Jew in the world, it was a small segmented population of Christians, Muslims, and Jews. It was not just the Jewish people. They've hijacked the definition of a Semite. Now, the opening paragraphs in this article state that working hand-in-hand with the Zionist-run media, the Zionist-run Pentagon, and the Zionist Congressional Lobby, AIPAC, is the Mossad-affiliated Anti-Defamation League, also known as the ADL. Through professing to be a civil rights organization interested only in protecting individual freedom and fighting bigotry, ADL fighting bigotry, whatever, the ADL is in reality a political attack group that specializes in destroying the careers and reputations of anyone, both Jews and non-Jews alike, who criticize Zionism or Israel. The ADL's current director, Abe Foxman, has declared anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Period. In a furious response to growing worldwide speculation of Zionist involvement in 9/11, note, Zionist involvement in 9/11, Zionist, not Jewish. A commonly held opinion in Europe and Middle East, Dishonest Abe added, when we first heard of the charge that Jews, Israel and the Mossad was responsible for the September 11 attacks. Hang on, I'll hold on a sec there. When we first heard of the charge that Jews, Israel and the Mossad, Israel and the Mossad and the ADL have nothing to do with Jewry or Judaism. Has everything to do with controlling the world through Jerusalem. And, in fact, they are more racist than the people that they are claiming to be anti-Semitic. I'll keep going. Most of us chuckled. But it didn't take too long to realize that it was not a joking matter, that it wasn't anything to laugh about. Today you can travel the Arab world, Asia and Europe, and reading newspapers and hear on radio and TV the big, hideous lie that has become a truth, that Jews bring about a situation in their interest in order to put the blame on somebody else. How classically anti-Semitic. Well, he's not exactly far from telling the truth, but I'd like to change that last sentence of his, that Zionists and that the leadership of Israel bring about a situation in their interest in order to put the blame on somebody else. How classically anti-Zionist is that theory? Exactly. Zion likes to bring about, or since Zion and Israel is actually controlled by the Illuminati, I'll be referring to them instead. The Illuminati like to bring about fake terror events in order to militarize the people and divide and conquer us into hating ourselves and other minorities. The Jews over the past 2,000 years have not been an exception to this rule. The Zionist leadership of Israel and the ADL are trying to make the Jewish people hate other people that are critical of the Jewish, of the anti-Jewish leadership of Israel. They are trying to divide and conquer us into thinking that Jewish people are actually in control of Israel, when in fact there's barely any Jews that run Israel. They're just pretending to be Jewish, and they're actually Zionists that care nothing about Judaism. Blech, I'm getting sick of talking about Israel. Now, that basically ends this week's segment of the Totalitarian Tiptoe for the Conspiracy Hour for April the 8th, 2006. In the next part of the show, titled Aliens and UFOs, I'll be going into Confessions of a NASA Airbrusher. Stay tuned for that.
今日は最高だよ。
おはよう、イギリス。
Natsuko and Peter here from JapanesePod101.com, a Japanese language podcast that brings you
Japan on Demand.
Learn Japanese about Japan
and about Japanese culture
with free daily 10 to 15 minute lessons direct from
Tokyo,
also known as Tokyo. Get your daily dose of Japanese and Japan at JapanesePod101.com.
よろしくお願いします。
It's that time of the week again, when the good folk at nettalkradio.co.uk take this crazy Australian off our hands here at abovetopsecret.com. It's the Conspiracy Hour with Nurky.
G'day, this is Nurky, the token crazy Australian at nettalkradio.co.uk with the Conspiracy Hour, 8 to 9pm Saturdays GMT, also simultaneously podcasted at abovetopsecret.com. with the section of the show for April the 8th, 2006, titled Aliens and UFOs, with the only article that I've managed to find in relation to aliens that's actually new for the past couple of weeks, titled Confessions of a NASA Airbrusher, which comes courtesy of azuredoor.freeserve.co.uk. And it is in relation to, or it's a transcript of, a radio interview with a person that used to work for NASA. And this person's role was basically to ensure that they airbrushed out every single occurrence of a UFO in all the NASA public release documents. And the article also continues on to talk about how the Apollo missions and every single space mission that we've ever done was being followed by alien UFO craft. And even goes to proclaim that the Apollo 13 mission would not have survived on its own without the assistance of the beings in the UFO craft that was following it. The Apollo 13 mission was the one that had almost failed, and they actually made a movie about it. It was a pretty crappy movie. It seemed more to be Hollywood patriotic propaganda that, hey, look, we're such good Americans, we're doing a job on our own. Well, this article at freeserve.co.uk, The Confessions of a NASA Airbrusher, begs to differ the question of whether or not it had alien assistance in coming back to Earth. The article sort of states that the craft would not have been able to come back to Earth without the assistance of the aliens in the UFO craft, and that all the astronauts are told to keep quiet about it, and that everyone working in that sector has to have a really high security clearance. Is this just some whacked out conspiracy theory? Or is it possible that the government is hiding information relating to alien UFOs for every single space mission that we've ever done? Does that include the launching of satellites? Or are the UFOs just a strange phenomenon and, not strange phenomena, and a byproduct of really old cameras and lighting and just actually playing tricks on the human mind, thinking that there are alien UFOs there so that they're getting them out of the picture so that people don't get confused because there's really no UFOs there? Is that what's going on? Or are there aliens that are really following all the craft? Who knows? Well, now it's time for Weird Tech Talk with Nurki on the Conspiracy Hour. I found an article titled Bioengineered Bladders Successful in Patients. And I'm glad because this is the first bit of weird technology I've been able to find in a while now. It comes courtesy of NewScientist.com. And the opening paragraphs state that bladders engineered in the laboratory from patients' own cells and then implanted into the body have succeeded in their first clinical trial. The feat was accomplished by Anthony Atala at Wake Forest University Medical School in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and his colleagues. He says that while scientists have had have had success with skin transplants grown on scaffolds in the past, this is the first time they have grown and transplanted a discrete complex organ. Well, I think America has finally come to its salvation. All those Republican voters can finally have brain transplants. But on a more serious note, I guess this means that stem cell research is going to become less valid now because one of its major selling points was that they could use it to research into regenerative technology for creating new organs. If they've found a way to bioengineer bladders by using a person's own skin cells, or a person's own cells as a baseline, then we would no longer need stem cell research. Unfortunately, this will just give some credibility to the right-wing fascist Christians that want to stop stem cell research because they think it's supposed to be bad, and that stem cell research is going to stop because they've already found other ways to bioengineer new organs. Well, I would also like to question the longevity of these organs. Are we going to see people that are implanted with these organs having difficulties in the future? We can probably say yes. And are we going to see ethics committees unethically passing these new bioengineered bladders into the mainstream market? Probably. But even if they don't pass it, the FDA and the lobbyists that work for the corporations that want to sell this are going to overrule the ethics committee's decisions, and they're going to put them into public use anyway, so it's not really going to matter. But needless to say, I'm sure that George Bush is reveling and is very happy because now he can finally get that brain implant that he always wanted. And now it's time for a very small section of the show I like to call Aspartame Bollocks, which is where I quickly talk about how the media is trying to make aspartame look good and sell it to the population and try and retard us into compliance with whatever Donald Rumsfeld wants to sell us. I'm not going to go into what aspartame is now, but suffice to say, it eventually breaks down into a product called formaldehyde, which is bad for you. So go out and do a little bit of research on aspartame, A-S-P-A-R-T-A-M-E, and find out whether or not you think it is going to be bad for you. Aspartame is the prime content of phenylketonics, or phenylalanine, used as an artificial sugar-free sweetener. And this article that I found for it, for this week, comes courtesy of PrisonPlanet.com, and is titled, Government Says Aspartame is Good for You. Donald Rumsfeld has been saying that for years anyway when he tried to bring it out in the late 80s and early 90s, so it's not really much of a change there. But the opening paragraph states that the deadly toxin aspartame, which is included in more than 6,000 food and drink products around the world, is good for you, according to a new government study. The Associated Press falsely labels the results as independent and omits referencing previous human studies undertaken by groups with no corporate or government ties that concluded the opposite. Exactly. The article that they're referring to was located at newsday.com by the Associated Press, and is saying that the people that did the research into whether or not aspartame is good for you was actually a government entity, and they're not proclaiming that on their website. They're saying that they are an independent source, and they weren't doing any reference to previous independent sources that prove that aspartame is bad for you. And on a side note, I believe that they used to use aspartame in Fanta in World War II. This is the Nazis, I mean them, the Nazis. They were using this to stupefy the Jewish people in Auschwitz and the other concentration camps by putting aspartame into it and make their brain overproduce dopamine so that they could become stupefied and would not rebel against the camp guards. This was in Fanta, and now it's in almost every sugar-free product you can find on the market, and is trying to get into every single soft drink product. Well, it's now 52 minutes into this show, so I'm going to have to play some AboveTopSecret.com podcast now, aren't I? I've only got about 6 minutes left, so let's get cracking.
I talk about the world being controlled by a few people, a few interbreeding families going back to the ancient world that are behind all this vast change in the Orwellian society that's...
turned into this. Are you saying the president would have been hit by three bullets instead of two if Connolly had not turned into that shot? And Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, says that's exactly correct, Mr. President.
This path of looking down it and finding, hey, there's a little bit more here than just accepting whatever the spin is on the news station you're watching.
And I guess I should just focus more on the whole political correctness and what's behind it issue.
I freaked out because I thought it was
education on the board. Okay. Have we, in effect, created our own worst enemy? That is a troll that thinks.
Only one website delivers more than 1,000 podcasts from dozens of conspiracy theorists. AboveTopSecret.com.
Your iPod will need a tinfoil case.
Relentless, I just listened to your podcast, and just a couple things I want to share. As I was listening to you, these thoughts came into my head.
It gets better.
Do tell.
Every day at AboveTopSecret.com, we have people come on and they make preposterous claims sometimes.
First ATS podcast for this week is courtesy of Kojo, one of the new podcasters at AboveTopSecret.com. We've got a couple of them, so I'm going to play his and then Dark Helmet's first podcast. Welcome to ATS Podspace, Kojo and Dark Helmet.
This is Kojo, brought to you by AboveTopSecret.com. And today, I was just wondering if anyone knew, is it true that you're a complete loser if your dog is named after you? Because my dog is named after me, and that's just kind of weird. And is it weird that on my computer, it actually says my computer, because that seems kind of weird to me, but I don't know. And is it weird when you just like sit and stare at like some person or something for like 5 hours straight? That seems pretty weird to me, man. Yeah. Alright, I'm gonna go now. Goodbye. Alright, so I lied. I'm not totally leaving yet. But my real question is it weird that you label everything? Like, if you had a dollar, you labeled it a dollar. And like, you had a TV and you labeled it TV, or like you had a hat and you like labeled it a hat, or like you had a drink and you labeled it like cat poop. I don't know, man, it just seems kind of weird to me, but yeah, that might just be me. So, oh dude, there's a duck in my room. Oh wait, that's just the phone. I have a duck phone. You talk in its butt. How sweet is that? Alright, now, seriously, people, I'm gonna go now. Alright, goodbye.
Hey, everybody, this is Dark Helmet from AboveTopSecret.com. I'm here again with another one of my weird conspiracy theories, this one pertaining to Bill Clinton. It goes without saying that former U.S. President Bill Clinton is not what he appears to be. The startling new evidence may point to the fact that he is neither a human nor an alien. He was manufactured, patented, and operated jointly by the FBI and a certain famous cartoon company, which I don't think I have to name. Disney. Excuse me. Bill Clinton is actually a robot. Of course, it is only an indication of the superiority of current technology that he appears almost identical to a human, and what is more, is able to fool people in everyday situations. For example, he can communicate with others on his own. During his presidency, his foreign policies were resolved by his creators, as were his domestic programs. And Clinton's notorious sexual escapades only make him seem all more human. So he wasn't lying when he said he didn't do it, because he can't do it. What is more is the choice of Al Gore as his vice president served him to make him, I guess, appear to be superhuman, which people thought kind of odd. Some right-wing groups became aware of the robotic nature of the former president, but the facts are so bizarre that they were reluctant to go public and risk their own heads, so they tried to bring him down by more conventional means, hence the impeachment with the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. And just a side note, Clinton is rarely allowed out into the rain for fear of a short circuit. I don't think I've ever heard that one before. Actually, I forgot I had that one. I had it written down somewhere. It's definitely a weird one. Alright, that's it for now. Bye.
Well, it's great to hear some new voices at AboveTopSecret.com's Podspace. And while I was listening to them, I went to the AboveTopSecret.com Podspace forum, and I found out that Dark Helmet had actually been one of the first podcasters at AboveTopSecret.com. But he's been silent since November last year after he made his introduction, and it's great to see him come back to ATS with some rather interesting humor podcasts. And I'd also like to welcome Kojo to ATS Podspace. It's great to hear some new voices. So thanks for coming to ATS Podspace, guys. It's great to have some fresh blood and some new voices and more people for me to argue with. Well, I need to bring this show to a close now. So this is Nurki signing out from the Conspiracy Hour for April the 8th, 2006 at nettalkradio.co.uk, Saturdays 8 to 9pm GMT, and simultaneously podcasted at AboveTopSecret.com. My blog is located at blog.myspace.com/Nurki, and I hope to see some comments in my blog or in the AboveTopSecret.com forums, because no one's commenting. Oh well, good night, love and light to you all. Peace out. This is Nurki.